Welcome again to another last-minute episode of the ARTC podcast, where we bring you the best in new old-time radio from the vaults of the Atlanta Radio Theater Company's live performance archive. This week, we bring you an amalgam of unusual short pieces taken from a variety of venues. We begin with Nikki's Place, Into the Blue Forest by Gerald W. Page. Then a short visit to George's past through a piece entitled Standing Peachtree by Ron N. Butler. And we finish with another of Ron N. Butler's famous episodes of Rory Rammer, Space Marshal, Eye in the Sky. I'll be back at the end to tell you whose talents contributed to these shows and where they were performed. But for now...
Well, hello. Don't just stand out there on the lawn. Come inside before one of you falls into quicksand or something. Oops. Too late for him. Well, you're still on firm ground. You might as well come inside. My name's Nikki, and this is my place. Is this your first time here? Just ignore the clutter. There's a story behind every door here, and some of them get, well, a bit messy. You'll get used to it. Or maybe not. Oh, here's a door. Look, there's a road over there, and unless I'm mistaken, here comes a horseman. A knight. And look, sitting over there by the road, an elf. Let's crouch down in these bushes and eavesdrop, why don't we?
Whoa! Good day, Sir Elf.
Good day, Sir Knight. What a finely armored hero you appear. Come to rid our wood of the ogre, have you?
That's right.
Many heroes have come for that. You passed their bones.
Then I'm in the right part of the forest.
Perhaps not. It is said the ogre scatters its leavings far from where it eats.
Then tell me where I may find it, and if I kill it, your people are free of it too.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Does not this ogre feed on your people as it does on mine? It's time to be rid of it. Show me its lair.
Mayhap it has no lair. Mayhap it's simply wherever it wants to be found.
Fair enough. I hunt its ground, after all. Lead me to it and tell me what it looks like.
Why, like an ogre, I suppose. This is the only one I ever saw. I suppose they all look pretty much alike.
Perhaps you err. After all, you're the only elf I've ever met, but I've no doubt there are more civil ones among your folk.
Again! That may well be so. It may also be you have no other friend than me in all this forest. Will you consider some advice?
Aye, I'll consider it.
Climb down from that horse and proceed on foot. If you move silently, you might take the ogre by surprise.
Reasonable advice, that. But my horse...
Well, just leave it here. The ogre of this forest has no taste at all for horse flesh...
Are we yet close to the ogre's lair, elf?
We might be.
Help! Save me!
What's that?
It came from over there, I fear.
Yes.
Through that clearing.
A woman against a tree. The shadows are thick. I cannot tell if she's bound with ropes or chains, but I can tell that the ogre's meal is planned and waiting.
Wait! Do not forget the element of surprise!
There is time for surprise and another for fighting, elf. I go with the hour and the second that are on me. Lady, fear not.
You come. I knew you'd come.
I'll loosen you in but a moment. What's this? You're not fastened to the tree at all. You're free. Then the ogre did not leave you here?
Not exactly.
I warned you, Sir Knight. The element of surprise.
Surprise? What surprise?
I think he means me.
You? Well, I don't...
Thank you for coming. I was beginning to get very hungry.
Now, wasn't that fun? I thought for a moment the knight might turn out to be like Prince Charming. I dated him once, you know. He wanted me to put on pale makeup and pretend to be dead so he could climb a thorn hedge and kiss me. Other than that, though, he was a real drag. I'm so glad he found Snow White.
You know, they were living happily ever after until I told Snow about the prince's arrangement with Cinderella. Maybe you read about that? It was in all the tabloids. Well, that's it for this time, but I'll be waiting for your return. I promise you an even more twisted story then. Goodbye, and watch your step, especially when you're walking across my yard.
Coming up next on Artsy, a great many people find themselves in Autumnly or Bumper's Crossroads without really being sure how they got there. This problem isn't new. Hundreds of years ago, the only landmarks were, well, this mountain and the mighty Chattahoochee River itself, and a tree that gave its name to almost everything built since. Come with us as we visit the frontier settlement of Standing Peach Tree.
I say, can you help me?
If I can, I will. But will not know if I can until you tell me what you wish.
Beg pardon?
How can I help you?
Well, I just walked down the Sandtown Trail, heading for the trading camp at Standing Peach Tree.
This Standing Peach Tree.
Oh, good! And I was told to look for a Scotsman standing under a gigantic peach tree, but I've looked all around the camp and I can't find any peach trees.
Ah, think I see your problem. Peach trees are not native to this land. What you are looking for is a pitch tree. That is, a pine tree.
Are you sure?
It common mistake. You looking for gigantic pine tree. Like one we are standing under.
Ah, but I also need to find a Scotsman.
May be able to help you with this also. Alexander McGillivray, at your service.
Not to put too fine a point on it, and not wishing to give offense, but you don't look like any Scotsman I've ever seen.
No offense taken.
You look, in point of fact, like an Indian chappie.
That is because I am, in point of fact, full-blooded Creek.
Named Alexander McGillivray?
It name I use in business dealings with white people.
Ah.
My birth name, Emistisigo. I am Miko of the Creek, a chief.
Emistisigo.
Emistisigo.
Eminem,
Why not just call me Alexander McGillivray?
Oh, what a capital idea!
Me think so, too.
Anyway, I'm looking for a particular trader here, a dealer in jewels and precious metals, a Master Thomas Shane.
Thomas Shane. Ah, you have friend in diamond business.
Yes. Do you know where I can find him?
Very simple. You see trail running north from Pitchtree here?
Yes.
Follow trail until dead end at Pitchtree. Turn left at Pitchtree. Follow new trail until it reach creek, lined with pitch trees. Cross Pitchtree Creek. Turn
creek?
Right at Second Pitchtree. Not First Pitchtree, mind you, but Second Pitchtree. Encounter
right.
Enormous chicken. Gone too far, have you?
Hey, kids, it's time again for Rory Rammer Space Marshal! Come away with us now to the far-off future days of 1985 AD, after men have landed on the moon, when Space Marshal Rory Rammer and his sidekick Skip Sagan guard the rule of law and the rights of the innocent.
From the skies of Earth to the orbit of the moon!
And now, for today's episode, Eye in the Sky. Aboard Space Station J. Edgar Hoover, floating high above Washington, D.C., Rory answers a radio call from Science Station Galileo.
Space Marshal's HQ, Rammer on duty.
Marshal Rammer, this is Professor Feynman on Science Station Galileo.
Yes, Professor, what can we do for you?
We're having a problem with the optics on our new 5-meter telescope. They're flawed. We'll need to manufacture a corrective lens from a disk of adamantite.
That's technically interesting, Professor, but what does it have to do with the Space Marshals?
Your superiors at the Department of Extraterrestrial Justice felt that it would be best to have one of your ships deliver the disk to us. We are, after all, talking about a 5-meter disk of synthetic diamond.
Yes, that makes sense.
I'm glad you see it that way. Here are your orders. You'll depart Space Station Hoover aboard your ship, the Silver Star, at 0632 GMT tomorrow. Rendezvous with the orbit freighter Eleanor Roosevelt over the South Atlantic to transfer the adamantite. Then rendezvous with us.
Professor, unless my slide rule is warped, that means we'll arrive at your space station with dry tanks.
Yes, we'll refuel you from the station's bunkers. That's all. Feynman out.
Wow, Rory! A 5-meter disc of adamantite? No wonder they want the space marshals to carry it. It must be worth a million smooze.
More like two. Standard monetary unit doesn't buy what it used to.
Either way, a million smooze? 2 million? That's a lot of pazuzas.
I suppose so. Still, something funny about the whole setup.
There, I've done what you wanted. Now will you let my daughter go?
Hard dock, Civil Star. All latches green. Ready to transfer cargo. Roosevelt, over.
Roger, Roosevelt. This is Marshal Rammer. I'll come out and unship the B-deck hatch. We'll load the cargo through there. Out.
Hold on a minute, Rory. I'll get my spacesuit.
No, Skip. You stay here and ride the attitude jets. Just in case the cargo shifts.
But, Rory, I'll never get another chance to see a diamond disc that size.
No. That's a direct order. Now stay where you are.
Aw, heck. Darn it all to heck.
Zero velocity relative to Galileo. Engines off.
And 0.05% fuel left in the tanks. Hot piloting, Rory.
Thanks, Skip, but now we're stuck here until we can refuel. Flip the star over so we can see the space station.
Coming around now, and... crumbling comets! What's that?
Another ship behind the station. And I recognize it. That's Rex Gorbachev's privateer.
Space pirates! We've flown right into a trap!
Svidaniya, Marshal Rammer. This is Rex Gorbachev, ready to take delivery of 5-meter disc of adamantite. And in case you have any ideas about resistance, I have Professor Feynman and his lovely daughter, Chrissa, here with me. Prepare to be winched aboard. Marshal Rammer, I am pleased to see you are in cooperative mood. I find hand blaster makes people eager to please.
Is that all you have? I'll see your hand blaster.
Hands up, you freelance Marxist.
I raised you an M90 Space Marines carbine.
Bonjour.
Hey, watch your language, fella. There's a lady present. Afraid there's no adamantite on board the Star, Gorbachev. Just a squad of Space Marines.
Clark, take 3 men. Go to Spinward and secure the station. Bradbury. Take the rest of the squad to counter, to anti, contra, just go the other way.
Oh, Marshal.
Thank goodness you saw through their scheme, Marshal. But what tipped you off?
Why, it was that story. Who'd believe the Department of Science would launch a space telescope worth millions without checking the optics first? I mean... what kind of idiots did he take us for?
Svala!
Hey, I said to watch your language, fella.
And that's all for today, kids. Join us next time when we hear Rory say...
And that's why I couldn't tell you about the Space Marines, Skip. I needed your reaction to Gorbachev's trap to be completely natural and real. You're too honest a person to be a convincing liar.
So the lesson I learned from this is I should work harder on being deceitful and hypocritical?
No, Skip. The lesson is... get over yourself. It's not all about you.
Oh.
That's next time on...
From the skies of Earth to the orbit of the moon!
Rory Rammer, Space Marshal!
You've been listening to another installment of the Atlanta Radio Theater Company's podcast. We began with Nikki's Place, Into the Blue Forest by Gerald W. Page, performed live at Stone Mountain Park in 2004. We then proceeded with Standing Peach Tree by Ron N. Butler, performed live outdoors at the Tomato Festival at Stone Mountain Park, also in 2004. And we concluded with Rory Rammer's Space Marshal, Eye in the Sky by Ron N. Butler, performed live at Sci-Fi Summer in 2003. These fine examples of audio drama were brought to you by the talents of David Benedict, Claire Kiernan, Daniel Kiernan, Megan Jackson, Phil Carter, Daniel Taylor, Doug Kay, Trudy Leonard, Alton Leonard, Matt Sicato, David Carter, Lily, Sonia, Brad Weege, and William Allen Rich. We hope you're enjoying the ARTC podcast. If so, please let us know by writing to us at podcast@artc.org. Our next live performances will be at the Heinlein Centennial Convention in Kansas City, Missouri on July 7th and 8th. so come on by for a taping of the source material for this podcast. Please remember that ARTC is supported entirely by people like you through the sale of our studio productions on CD through our website at www.artc.org. If you like these live shows, wait till you hear what we can do in the studio. Already have the whole collection? Nothing is simpler or more important to us than for you to spread the word about us. Tell your friends about the Atlanta Radio Theater Company, and remember, there is adventure in sound. All material is copyright by its creators or the Atlanta Radio Theater Company.
ARTC.org.